Hello, hello. This is a little bit of a disappointing one for me. It's a topic that I've been dying to chat about for so long, and this is the second time I'm hosting this coaching clinic on this topic around how to reset sugar cravings and change your taste buds. And the last time I had to cancel because I had no voice about 3 weeks ago. For 2 days, I couldn't speak, although I had no other symptoms and not sure if it was pregnancy, hay fever. But this time around, for the past 24 hours, I've had excruciating nausea. And to the point that I woke up this morning and realized I can't let you ladies down. We've got over 1,000 of you who were really eager to listen to this, or tune in at least to this topic. So I'm pre-recording it and I'll also make it into a podcast. So for a lot of you ladies that are commuting to work, you can listen to it either on Spotify or iTunes. And for the others watching me and this video, welcome. Excuse me if there are any interruptions and I do breaks. I'm not sure if this is a tummy bug or if it is a girl that I'm expecting. I'm over 17 weeks pregnant and we're waiting to find out the sex. So we'll only find out at the birth in October. And I'm starting to think, is this a little girl or is this a tummy bug? We shall have to wait and see. And any advice, as always, is welcome. So let me, for those watching this, I'm going to be sharing my screen. And for those listening, don't worry because I'll go into a bit of detail. Just to give you the bigger picture, if you hear anything in the background, this is also not the best timing to be recording because my son hasn't gone to school yet and he is screaming and nagging for his mother. But I don't have to explain that because a lot of you know the feeling in the morning. So excuse if there's any interruptions on that side as well. Okay. How to reset sugar cravings and change your taste buds. This is definitely a topic that we'll be covering in more detail again. But to start off, I want to take you through my personal four-step protocol. And the biggest thing that I want to just emphasize is that we don't believe in removing pleasure in everything that we do in our FM coaching programs. Your taste buds are trainable, and so is your brain. So, why are you craving sugar? So, a lot of this may sound obvious, but it's quite important to go through the backstory of it, and to really get a proper understanding. And before I start with why are you craving sugar and a lot of the first slides, I will go through a bit quicker to get to the rest of the protocols. But I just need to reiterate that I was someone who would have sugar every single evening, every single day. Sometimes I'd think I'm having a really good day and eating really clean, and then the evening would come and I'd really overdo it on the sugar. Our family, Italian, South African, and food is a big plays a big part. And everyone loves sugar, particularly chocolate. So these sorts of what I'm showing here is a Beacon marshmallow chocolate, which I found. Coincidentally, my husband's come back from a work function and this was in the goodie bag. And these were the types of chocolates that I would have in one go. And it would lead to wanting more and more and more. And the next day, I'd think, I could hold out and I could only have sugar on the weekend. And then I'd overdo it again and have sugar. So I really was someone who considered myself to have a very sweet tooth. This was about 10 years ago, and I haven't looked back because I follow these steps that I'm going to be sharing with you. So, while we are craving sugar, of course, refined sugar hijacks the same dopamine pathways as addictive substances. That is so important. I was chatting to a client about it the other day. It really is. It controls us. So, no longer do you have to blame yourself. We know that the products and brands out there have worked on testing for weeks, years to make sure their products are addictive, and they control us. Blood sugar spikes lead to crashes, which leads to cortisol, which leads to more cravings, and it's a loop. another client I was chatting to is in this loop currently and finding it so hard to break away. But she's also suffering from really intense work stress and lack of sleep. So that's nearly impossible to break away because the high cortisol that she's experiencing gets a kick out of the glucose spike. So she's going to continue to crave the glucose because that instant gratification goes so much further when you are tired and when you are in a really bad space and feeling very stressed. Okay. And then, yeah, the stress and poor sleep will amplify it. So your willpower alone will never win. You're not addicted to the sugar, you're addicted to the spike and the instant gratification. Hidden sugars, we need to remind ourselves of this because often I hear people saying, oh, I've given up sugar, and then they don't realize that sugar is in so many different things. Okay, the obvious is the granolas and cereals, juices, sodas, spices, and sauces. We undermine this. And when I went on my journey, I must grab my book. I've now got it in the office far away, but I Quit Sugar for Life is a book that I read in my 20s, which sparked this journey for me. And that was when I started to really look at the back of labels and realizing, like, Ina Palmer's spices have got sugar in it. It's literally everywhere. And it all adds up. So convenience foods, of course, have got a lot of sugar in it. Protein bars. I know a lot of ladies have incorporated more and more protein bars into their diets once they've started doing macro counting. And my biggest advice there is try and keep it for the weekend. Try and treat a protein bar the same way you would a chocolate. Don't have it every single night. If a lot of the ladies who've got a lot to lose may see benefits, you know, they're still having the protein bars, but still losing weight. And your body is going to get to a point where it's going to be really hard. You're going to almost feel like you're sustaining or you're stuck. And that's where sugar plays a big role. Your sugar, your fiber, excreting the estrogen, that excess estrogen that our body holds onto, which fiber helps us get rid of. And then, of course, with a lot of us going into perimenopause, menopause, and a lot of ladies in it already, the biggest focus needs to be around the reduction of sugar and fiber to really make a shift in belly weight and stubborn weight that we get frustrated about. And then lastly, products marked as gluten-free. So this is one that I love to remind people of because we went through this phase of, you know, everything's gluten-free, then lactose-free. And because it's something free, there's a marketing mind F around believing that, oh, that means it's healthier for me. Whereas not a lot of people are gluten intolerant. And a lot of the times, even if something is sugar-free, there are alternative sweeteners which are often worse off for your gut than actual sugar. Again, this is a topic we'll cover in one of our upcoming coaching clinics about reading labels, which is so important. Okay, so different names for sugars, and this is that I want you to record. If you're watching, take a screen grab. If you're listening, like, take some mental notes or put some notes in your phone because we totally don't realize how many different bloody names, over 100 names for sugar there are on packaging. So, of course, you'll usually see your sugar cane, sugar, raw sugar, brown sugar, powdered sugar. Then you'll see syrups, high fructose corn syrup, golden syrup, maple syrup, rice syrup, agave syrup, nectar, malt syrup, barley malt syrup. And then anything ending with a OSE. So, glucose, fructose, sucrose, dextrose, maltose, lactose, galactose. Feels like I'm rapping. Fruit-based, apple juice concentrate, grape juice concentrate, and then more of the, like, less, these are just a few that I'm mentioning. The less obvious ones are molasses, treacle, can't even, excuse my pronunciation. Of course, I'm not coming here from a dietitian perspective or a nutritionist. I am the victim, just like you are, figuring this out as we go. Dextrin, maltodextrin, evaporated cane juice, invert sugar, and carob syrup. So, ones with some nutritional argument behind them, and I know that there are a lot of people who, you know, debate this, but the experts that I follow and the chefs that I follow, or the nutritionists and dietitians who always share these amazing recipes online. One local who I have to give a shout out to is Chris Lee, A Good Life. She's based in Paarl in Cape Town, and her recipes I absolutely love because I know with trust I can buy the recipe book and everything in there I can make. And I became even more loyal to her recipes when I was going through breastfeeding with my son, and he had quite a lot of allergies, or we were trying to figure out what the allergies were. And she had the same journey, and she's an integrative health coach, and she does a lot of talks on label reading, etc. And she'll be a guest with one of our chats as well. And she had kids who also had allergens, so a lot of her recipes take that into consideration. Will be dairy free, nut free, etc. It's worth looking into. So honey, molasses, maple syrup, coconut sugar, and date sugar. These are sweeteners which I prefer to use. So again, remember at the beginning I said, like, don't look at completely cutting everything out. Rather look at finding substitutes, which we'll touch on. And these are great ones because honey's got your antioxidants, antimicrobial, trace minerals. Raw honey is the best. Also be very particular when you're buying honey. If it's coming from a odd destination, I know the advice is always get the honey from the local bees in your area. We buy the bees. We buy the honey from the farmers market around the corner from us, and just make sure that it is actual honey. Again, the regulations on what people can put on labeling is so confusing because you think you might be buying one product, but it might not be 100% pure. So always check that. Molasses is a decent source of iron, calcium, magnesium, and potassium. And it's the most nutritionally dense of the group that we've just listed. Maple syrup contains magnesium, zinc, small amounts of antioxidants. Coconut sugar contains a prebiotic fiber and trace minerals, marginally lower GI than table sugar, marginally low. Date sugar made from whole dried dates, so it retains some fiber and minerals, and it's probably the most whole food of the list that we've just mentioned. Okay, so this might be your argument, which I completely understand, is that the calories are so much more. But the goal at the end of the day is not to reduce, and is, the goal at the end of the day is to reduce and not eliminate. Sorry. So we get addicted to processed sugar and ultra sweet foods, and going cold turkey with nothing to replace it usually ends in, we all know this, failure or binging. So if weight loss is the goal, the swap still requires awareness. So you have to look at, like, logging your foods, know your numbers. But here's the good news, because the richer the ingredients and the darker bitter tastes are less addictive. It is, again, going to be about training your taste buds and taking it slow. The cravings don't spiral out of control when you are having non-refined sugars and richer desserts, which are made from whole foods. I'll also share at the end two chocolate recipes that I couldn't spell recipes there, but thankfully those listening don't see the typo. Okay, so step one, the boundary. This is very important. So structure removes the daily negotiations. You need to set the boundary and not the restriction. So for example, I chatted to a lot of ladies over, like, seasonal period in Christmas time and Easter time, where they really struggled to let go of their sugar habits after the holidays. And I think it was, like, still in May, I had ladies saying, "Oh, I'm still eating Easter eggs and it's just a Monday, but I'm really stressed at work, X, Y, and Z." So instead of completely eliminating it, set that boundary. Do never, never, ever, ever have your sugar during the day if you can stop it. Look, if it's a special occasion, you're meeting a friend for tea and you're having a slice of cake, We've got the exceptions. Of course, we want to live our lives. But by pushing out the boundary to the evening, you're preventing yourself from having the sugar at lunchtime and then the evening coming and having the sugar in anyway again because of the glucose spike and because of the dip, you're going to be craving it again. So you're doubling up basically on your sugar load. So if you can have that boundary of not having it during the daytime and you say, okay, after I've had my dinner, I'm going to have a treat, then that's already going to help you a hell of a lot. Then once you've got that boundary in place, try and shift it and say, okay, no, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to try not have the dessert. It's not out of my, it's not something that I'm not allowed to have, but I'm going to make the boundary now for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so you start to shift it so that you're a little bit stricter just with not overdoing it, because again, it's not your fault, it's not willpower, it's the product itself. Total restriction creates obsession, which we all know. A clear rule will remove the debate of having sugar during the week and replacing it with non-addictive treat that is refined sugar-free. So quitting can cause temporary withdrawal symptoms, which is really important to remember, because this is why we tend to grab another sweet thing or refined sugar-free treat, is because we've got the cravings, the headaches, irritability, can't deal with like our kids' tantrums, whatever friction is happening at home or friction's happening at work, very stressful, the fogginess. This typically subsides as dopamine receptors recalibrate. So you need to give yourself time. I always tell myself after a holiday, because as I just bragged about that, I'm no longer the sugar addict that I used to be. I still have periods of going on holiday and say, I don't know, the odd like cocktail, which is not something I usually drink, or Aperol, which I tend to have, or wine, whatever those things are with sugar, and a dessert when being on holiday. And of course, when I go visit my family, I'm having all the pizza and the gelato. And coming back, the first day back, I really want sugar and I want to remember the memories, still feel like I'm on holiday. So it's really, really hard for me to break that habit. But I always tell myself, give myself 3 days. 3 days, set the boundaries. And, which we'll get to, substitute the refined sugar. So I'm still getting a fix. So why do it? At the end of the day, we know why we're doing it. You're watching this for a reason. You're listening to this for a reason. Improved energy levels, reduced bloating, clear skin, reduction in belly fat, and better hormonal balance. No matter whether you're pregnant, postpartum, perimenopause, menopause, hormones at the end of the day, like all of those symptoms are very, very similar during those different phases. And the last thing we want to be doing is disrupting it with high alcohol, high sodium, high sugar. The swap, same pleasure, better feel. So don't restrict, but redirect. Restriction always, always backfires. So down the line. So what to opt for instead of refined sugar? Again, this goes back to the natural sweeteners. And this book, I Quit Sugar for Life, had so many recipes that I started off with. And it includes ingredients like dates, honey, pure maple syrup, coconut sugar. Just for those watching, yeah, I've always got this jar full of dates. Then I've always got my almond butter, along with these two ingredients that are always in the cupboard. I've got nuts, different nuts. Of course, we know they're high in fats, but I use them in moderation. And whether you're using cocoa or cacao, coconut sugar, you can make really nice recipes. Again, I'll share some with these ingredients that are rich, that are so rich that if you're used to Chuckles or Cadbury chocolate, it's not going to satisfy your taste buds immediately because you're so used to that sweeter fix. So it still hits your sweetness receptors, but it comes with fiber, less processed, and slower glucose response, which means less of a spike, less crash, less craving. You'll eat less of it. So there is a debate with certain products like coconut sugar that still can have a spike. But at the end of the day, I have experienced it again from my personal experience. And what I believe is when I'm eating desserts from these like whole foods ingredients and it is richer, I really don't overdo it like I would if I was having like my old habits of a bag of Chuckles. So then other swaps, milk chocolate, you can swap with something very basic like dates and almond butter. Strangely enough, and there might be some of you out there, I don't like to eat a date like this on its own. I have to blend it and put it with cacao, cocoa, and some almond butter and nuts, for instance, and oats, and make a date ball out of it. I don't like the pure taste of a date on its own. I know a lot of you guys do. Store-bought desserts. So instead of that, opting for Greek yogurt, honey, and berries. A lot of you I know have gotten used to having Greek yogurt with protein powder. Again, we know there are different ingredients and different protein powders to keep aware of, but a lot of the times the sugar is a hell of a lot lower and it's not as addictive. You're not going to have like bowl after bowl of protein powder and yogurt. For our ladies abroad in the Northern Hemisphere, I know a lot of you, or even the Australian ladies, I know you also get protein yogurt, which is, yeah, it's scarcer here in South Africa. Then instead of hot chocolate, because so many hot chocolates, even skinny Nomu hot chocolate, have got the corn syrups, and you'll look at the back of the label, the always the first few ingredients are what the product consists of more. That's like the most of the ingredients in the product. And then towards the end, it's like the least. And you'll see that a lot of them, including this chocolate that I showed you guys earlier, I think like even Cadbury, it's got like a 10 or 20% of cocoa in. The rest is like 80% of like sugar and shit. So hot chocolate, instead of like just making, being very conscious, a lot of these wellness warehouses and Faithful to Nature's will have your pure hot chocolates with not a lot of nasty ingredients in. Otherwise, very, very simple to make your own with a homemade 1 cup of milk, or alternative, whether it's oat milk or almond milk. Let's not get started on the seed oils. 2 teaspoons of cacao, 2 teaspoons of honey or maple syrup, and then you can have an optional quarter teaspoon of vanilla extract, and a pinch of sea salt. That's like, there's your hot chocolate. And what we actually do is we pre-mix it and keep it in the cupboard, which we have quite often, and it really, really does satisfy. And then if I'm feeling like needing chocolate, I promise you, I know this always, I used to laugh at people that say, just have 2 squares of dark chocolate. And I was like, how is that even possible? But the darker the chocolate, the more my taste buds changed. I'll have, for instance, 2 squares of 85% dark chocolate, something like a dark chocolate, because even Lindt, if you look at the ingredients list at the back, like cocoa is towards the end and it's predominantly sugar and fat. Honest chocolates, it's got pure ingredients. Chocolate is supposed to have very, very pure and plain ingredients. It's not supposed to be so complicated as all the ingredients that they put in it. But if certain days I also don't just have 2 squares, I can, some days I can have 2 squares with my homemade hot chocolate and I'll be satisfied. Some days I'll have half the slab, but it still doesn't give me that that yuck feeling, which I always, always feel after refined sugar. And then lastly, protein balls and homemade desserts from real ingredients is what needs to be your focus. So starting off with getting rid of all the crap in your sweets cupboard and in your drawers. And I promise you, it's the oddest thing, but since I've done this journey like 10 years ago, I've never baked with sugar, like pure sugar. I've gotten so used to baking with like real whole food ingredients, and that I don't even, yeah, I don't, I've, we've got sugar in the cupboard that never gets touched. It's for our house help that she has it. And then the other thing I don't do is I don't buy like chocolates. I don't buy refined sugar chocolates. I'm always buying the healthy ingredients and I'll chat and products that I'll also mention at the end, yeah. So just a tip, keep something sweet available in your fridge or your freezer, like sweet potato brownies. Scarcity drives binging, as we mentioned, but I have to repeat that. I love the sweet potato brownie recipe that we have. And the best part about it is it's perfect to freeze. And when you freeze it, you can like cut it into little pieces and have it afterwards. And it's honestly, it is so, so delicious. It's like my go-to. Having that in the freezer, and it really satisfies my cravings. Then, number three, change your palate. So your reliance on hypersweet food drops your taste and your taste buds open to complexity. So bitterness, richness, depth. The progression. So you start with, for instance, 70% dark chocolates, and you can move up later to 80% or 85%. Back when I was like first trialing this years ago, I remember Lindt had a 99%, which was Absolutely horrific. So I never ventured back to that bitter taste. And it's you also don't need to. And then more bitter foods in your dinner. So this might sound quite simple, but just to reflect and to remember it the next time you're cooking, especially those in the summer hemisphere making more soups now, rocket, dark leafy greens like spinach, and even green tea. I went through a phase of being able to stomach green tea a hell of a lot, and it really, really did change my taste buds. Now, for the past 3 years since pregnancy, postpartum, and pregnancy again, like that's not particularly something that I'd like to drink, and but it does help. And also another factor that I haven't mentioned is just tea in general, like having tea when you're having cravings during the day, and just making sure that is it actually a craving I'm having, or is it something else that I'm just like bored, and leaning towards. So within 2 to 4 weeks, overly sweet things will start to tasting too sweet, that your taste buds like recalibrate. And I am a true example of this because give me a like milk Cadbury chocolate. Ooh, give me a white, actually the nausea is coming back now. Give me a white chocolate or Chuckles. And it's like, it's far, far too sweet. And again, I can quickly undo the taste buds that I like, how I'm craving and how I'm eating. And I can have a holiday and have like a few chuckles, especially when having wine. It's almost like it numbs everything. And then I'm like, oh, okay, chuckles I can have again. But 3 days back to my routine of like cutting the refined sugars, and I'm back to going, oh, yeah, that's overly sweet. It's not something that's part of my like regular staple in my cupboard like it used to be. We always, always, always used to have chuckles. So the science, your taste receptors, sensitivity adapts with repeated exposure. So I just want to pause this because I've got a needy dog outside who is wanting to quickly come in. So just 2 seconds. Okay. Really not the best of time to be recording it and should be doing this from the office, but we're almost there. So that was number three, was changing your taste buds. So then the mindset, and this is a big one, and we focus on this a hell of a lot, is to remind yourself and to talk to yourself like, I don't eat refined sugar on weekdays. Not I can't, I'm cutting it out, or I'm on a diet, because the can't is deprivation, and it's not identity. So one slip isn't failure. Just remember that. Like I said, I often have my days like I'll go visit a friend, or there'll be an amazing cake, and I'll have some cake with refined sugar in it. Returning to the boundary is what's the win. You're not giving up pleasure, you're upgrading what pleasure means. So, the tip, choose one boundary this week and decide to bulk make one refined sugar-free dessert that you can freeze like brownies. Rich chocolate desserts and refined sugar-free. So, I'll share these two recipes. They are for all of our ladies on the app. The peanut cups and the brownies are there. So if you go onto your recipe tab, just use the switch button and toggle to find the recipes, or type it in under FM recipes. They really are delicious. And then other than that, for everyone abroad or locally, just make sure that when you go to the shops, everyone, in fact, the overseas, you guys have got like more selection. Locally, Boom Bar from Nanuki is a favorite of mine, and Honest Chocolate, because it's literally as the branding is, it's organic coconut blossom sugar, agave nectar or dates that they use to sweeten. And that's that. So thank you so much. I am honestly going to get back into bed. I'm really not feeling too great, but I feel like for the past few, I don't even know if this is a 20 minute, 30 minutes that have gone past quite quickly, because I'm so passionate about it. I've kept myself together, but I really appreciate you watching the recording, listening to the recording, and I promise we'll do a live again soon. On this topic and on this note, please do feed back to me particulars in topics that we are going to be covering, because this is huge, and something that everyone always struggles with is one pot family meals, not a lot of ingredients, but high protein, and the whole family will enjoy it. That's number one. Number two is also looking at like label reading, really understanding what to have in your pantry cupboard and what not to have, and what to feed your kids. What to feed your family, a nutritionist expert, hormone expert talking about perimenopause and menopause. What else do we have coming up? Mental health experts for us ladies. I'm starting therapy again, which I'm really, really excited about. So we're definitely going to be covering more of those topics. Anything else that comes to mind, please let me know. We're all, as always, working hard behind the scenes to give you more value and to support you on your health and fitness journey. Thanks, ladies.